my dad is texting me. My dad, my sister-in-law are having this whole text conversation that I am apparently CC'd on because I keep seeing my phone light up. And I look down and they're both discussing that I should have kids. And I look down and my dad's like, Tracy, think about your Starfleet legacy.
Welcome to Pod Thingy, where the geeks meet over drinks to discuss the latest in pop culture. Join the rock star, the author, the outlaw, and the nerd girl for Pod Thingy.
Welcome. Welcome to Pod Thingy, episode 8. We're happy to be back with you. I am John Mulhall. I am an author. I have stuff out.
Things and stuff.
A brilliant novel. Getty's Moon.
Yeah, brilliant. Let's go with brilliant. And another one coming out called Dark and Broken Things. You can find me online at johnmulhall.com. We're also joined by...
I am Tracy, also known as Hot Nerd Girl. You could find me at Hot Nerd Girl.
Keep your hands to yourself. She's very animated when she's talking about herself.
She couldn't get her plug out.
Are falling off. I'm falling apart at the seams. No,
it's a great way to start the podcast.
Thank you. I do what I can. My name is Tracy.
Start over from the beginning.
Repeat. We didn't get your name. One more time, please.
Who are you again?
Every time I start talking, it's not like I'm into
I know.
Contact.
Why do you keep punching me? Okay. Who are you?
And why are you here?
We are off to a strong start. Yeah. What's your name? Okay. Who are you?
I am speaking on behalf of Tracy at hotnerdgirl.com. I'm Hayden, a.k.a. Geek Outlaw, geekoutlaw.com, host of the Wild Wild podcast. Hope you'll tune in. And hopefully Tracy will catch her breath here in just a few seconds. But to my right.
Blaine, I am the vocalist for Idiot Stare and Insight 23. You can locate me at idiotstare.com, idiotstare.bandcamp.com. We have a remix at hatedepartment.bandcamp.com. And I have iBlaine at twitter.com if you're that bored.
Are you okay now?
Yeah. I'm okay. And my name is Tracy, also known as Hot
Nerd. You missed your turn.
I spoke on
this
your behalf.
We're not doing this again.
Yes.
Okay, fine. I'm done. Peace out.
Seventh time's the charm.
Okay, before we get into any, I'm sorry. I'm totally excited about this. I gotta tell you guys this story.
I want to hear it.
It's been driving me crazy. So I'm walking down the Hollywood Boulevard yesterday, and I saw this guy who I see every day, but I don't know him. I have no idea who he is, but I see him all the time. And out of nowhere, he walks up and he's like, dude, and he gives me this hug. And I was like, this is weird, but okay. And he stepped back and I went, thanks. What was that for? And he looked me right in the face and went, fuck Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
That is
classic. That's
good.
That's awesome.
I mean, I've heard so many comments about the previous podcast and Harrison Ford. And there's this like outpouring of Harrison Ford support.
Well, yeah, look at my Facebook wall. Like I don't know if you guys have heard, but Harrison Ford
right, yeah,
got a boo-boo.
Yeah.
Heard himself on the set of Star Wars, and everyone posted different iterations of the article on my Facebook wall.
Well, it's like a karma thing.
Yeah.
It's cool that you guys listen, and it's cool that you're supportive, and what great response we had to that story and to the last podcast. So thank you, everyone, for writing and emailing and Twittering and all sorts of fun stuff. So totally. That was really cool.
Yeah, and a side note, fuck Harrison Ford.
It was the moment that story was waiting for. Yes. So thank you.
Hashtag fuck Harrison Ford.
But not Han Solo. No,
yeah, nor Indiana Solo. Jones.
Yeah. There's more Star Wars stuff. I mean, we did a whole show on Star Wars, so I don't want to spend too much time there. But and before we talk about the Star Wars news that's come out in the last week or so, wanted to do the drink. We're drinking.
Drinks with Deeks.
Grinks with Deeks, and I've got Whiskey Sour here. Salute, everyone. Kanpai.
Tsingtao.
Gesundheit. That's sour.
And whiskey. That's me.
That is you.
That's me. That means I like it.
A lot.
A lot, a lot, a lot. So they announced directors for the two Star Wars standalone films, and interesting names.
Very interesting names.
We've got Gareth Edwards and
Godzilla.
Yeah, the director of Godzilla. And we also have Josh Trank, who is Chronicle, and he's directing the new Fantastic Four movie. And one of them will be, I mean, they haven't, no one's really officially announced that one of the films is going to be Han Solo and one of the films is going to be Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But I think that that's kind of the common assumption. Yeah. Is that and that Lawrence Kasdan is writing potentially the Boba Fett movie, and so we have two interesting directors that are going to be part of this expanding Star Wars universe. And how do you, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm really mixed on getting these standalone, almost a new version of a prequel. In a way, we had so much good luck with prequels in the Star Wars universe, and here we're going to go back and we're going to tell stories about Han Solo, stories about Boba Fett.
I heard somewhere that they had 50 pages or 50 episodes or something of a TV show written out, and a lot of it had to do with a Han Solo origin.
That's sort of true. They after Episode 3 came out, you might recall that George Lucas was in development on a television show. So they, and he had said then that it was going to be mostly non-film characters, or you know, not primary characters, it would be secondary characters or tertiary characters that you know, these kind of stories that take place. It was supposed to take place between Episode 3 and Episode 4. So kind of between...
it's sort of the same universe as the Clone Wars.
Well, the Clone Wars took place between 2 and 3.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so this would be 3, so the Empire's now come into power, and it's before the events in... A New Hope, when the rebellion is really mounting their resistance. So, and it sounded like an interesting idea, and then the whole thing was scuttled because it was too expensive.
Yeah.
And now word is coming out that even though Lucas at the time was saying that these were going to be not be primary characters, that there were some stories focused around Han Solo, focused around kind of those younger characters in a formation.
Was that the same rumor that also included the whole story behind the spies who stole the plans for the Death Star?
The Bothans?
Yeah, but because there was going to be I don't remember if it was part of that or if they were going to have their own story too. Because I remember hearing there was going to be a movie or a show or something.
I don't know about that.
I bet you that would be really cool because you could tell a lot of stories there.
Not because I'm Jewish or anything, but when you look at this from a financial aspect, I think anything Star Wars is going to be successful. I mean, I think it'll make money on the big screen.
Well, I don't think we know that until episode.
Well,
7 comes
look at
out.
The prequels. Did those make a lot of money?
Like, I think a Boba Fett movie, huge. Han Solo movie,
not so huge. Much. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Would it truly be a Boba Fett movie, or would it be a Jango Fett origin movie?
Yeah, who knows.
The rumor is Boba Fett. I mean, well, Jango Fett is... We saw his demise.
We kind of saw Boba Fett's origin story in the prequels, though.
As a child. So this would be this would be later on in that process.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like, Blaine, I think the reason that would be a big success is because we don't know a lot about how Boba Fett really...
Well, and I'll take it a step further. It's a character in a mask.
Well, that's true. There's a lot of mysterious... Well,
see, then that's... Honestly, that's the thing that bothers me the most about this idea, and without having seen scripts, without understanding where they're going. I mean, there's a lot of criticisms of the prequels, of course, but my biggest would be that they sap the mystery from all the characters in the original trilogy.
We never needed to see young Greedo.
Right. Young Jabba, young Greedo. Even seeing how Anakin falls, it's not as cool a story as when you imagine it. And so here now you've got Han. Do we really need to see how he wins the Millennium Falcon from Lando? Do we really need to see how he made the Kessel Run?
How he met Chewie?
It's a little bit of the Muppet Babies. But it's, you know, you take the mystery when you feel the need to explain everything. There's, you know, I mean, a couple of times people on this podcast have said, "Oh, it would be cool to see an Avengers movie where you talk about." The Black Widow and Hawkeye and
Budapest.
They talk about Budapest, and it's like I'd rather just have them have a history where they
knowing it's there.
Yeah, for me, when you start feeling the need to fill in all those gaps and paint by numbers, you sap the mystery. So how do you have a Boba Fett movie without showing who's behind the mask?
I love it when things go unanswered. You know, a great example of this is like the Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal thing, when they went back and remade Red Dragon and put in that whole part that they talked about in Silence of the Lambs. Like, that wrecked everything, you know, the dinner party and the nurse. And the prequels for Star Wars basically took this awesome, huge galaxy far, far away and literally turned it into a cul-de-sac.
Yeah. Yeah.
The third option that they were talking about was a Yoda movie. And I think that would be kind of ridiculous to have. I mean, they would obviously use computer CGI as opposed to the Muppet. And I think that it would be kind of silly to have an entire movie about that. The only one that I would be even remotely excited about watching would be a Han Solo one. For some reason, that beginning, the how he meets Chewie sounds interesting to me. Mm. But the Boba Fett and the Yoda, I think both need to be left to mystery.
I don't know. Give me an R2-D2 prequel. I'm there. How he's built. No, wire by wire.
Did you ever see the? Did you ever see the? Was like the behind the music with R2-D2, yeah. Which was no, is True Hollywood Story.
Yeah, loved that. It was good. So good. So we've got Harrison Ford taking his spill. We don't know how bad it is. His son is saying maybe he's going to have metal put in his ankle in pins, and
he's 71 years old.
Sucks for him at the airport.
Yeah. I mean, apparently they're scrambling to reschedule shooting and move things around.
Good. Release it in May of 2016.
That's what I was thinking.
Han Solo in a wheelchair, like a floating one.
This was fate.
Fate.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting if they ultimately had to push back and it was in May against their...
This is what happens when you fuck with the Force.
Yeah. Wow.
In other news, Hayden, you want to talk about this a little bit? They found a dinosaur. Tell a little bit about that.
Biggest dinosaur ever. Yeah, and scientists actually came up with a really creative name for it, Titanosaur.
Mm. Yeah, that is clever.
They dug deep for that one.
That was like the step above the Ultrasaur.
The Ultrasaur.
Gigantosaur.
Gigantosaur. Yeah. So this thing is bigger.
Grimlock.
No, yeah, why can't they be that? That's awesome.
Why, yeah, why can't they name him Grimlock?
I know.
Grimlockosaur.
Slag, slug.
Or just Grimlock. Yeah. Why does it have to be? And it, like stars, too. It's like Bernie F5E28. Why can't it, be like, Starfucker?
George.
Starfucker.
George.
So this dinosaur is two semi-trucks long, 14 African elephants big. My question is that there's a new Jurassic Park.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, movie.
At what point do we use African elephants as a unit of measure?
You didn't know about this, John?
I almost said something about being racist, but I didn't. I just held back.
What is this? It's like, how many African elephants is it?
No. That's not true. They actually have rulers at Home Depot.
Yeah, African elephant department.
They're measured in elephants.
They're not the Brazilian elephants. They're the African elephants.
I'm with you, brother.
Yeah, so I'm going to link this to pop culture in a roundabout way. So you guys have seen Jurassic Park. Right?
One of them.
Which movie are you talking about?
No. Oh, what's that? That's Steven Spielberg?
Isn't that about... Yeah. What's that about?
I don't know. Anyway, they're coming out with a fourth, Jurassic World.
Yes, Jurassic World.
With Chris Pratt, who is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Star-Lord.
Star-Lord. And I guess my question is that, the Jurassic Park movies have tried to be fairly accurate about what dinosaurs they include in these films. Is this something you see being incorporated, or is it too late? A little too late?
Well, listen, being an expert on this, because only 2 weeks ago I was on the Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios.
Oh, you are an expert.
That does qualify.
Yeah. I was too, actually. Yeah.
Not 2 weeks ago. You weren't.
No, three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to say that, a welcome new addition. I actually liked Jurassic Park 3.
I did too. I didn't like 2. I like 3.
2 That's sucked. Interesting.
I actually am a huge fan of Jurassic Park 3, and
yes.
I hate Jurassic Park 2, except for the whole sequence with them going over the cliff.
Right.
That's a great sequence.
Amazing sequence.
That was the best sequence of the
film.
Aside from that, I don't give a shit about the movie.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park 3, I actually kind of dug.
Yeah, yeah.
Three was not bad. Yeah.
But 3 gets all this hate, and I don't really get it.
Does it?
It does. It gets a lot of hate.
Does it really?
Yeah, it gets a lot of hate.
Was it too much too soon?
I don't know. I think I don't know why the hate exists.
I thought it did really well because that's why they're going to do a 4. But
I just think it's.
I just think
the property is.
Well, and also, but we didn't get Goldblum
in the third.
But we did get Neil.
But we got Neil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, I don't know. I would.
But Goldblum was everyone's favorite.
If you're talking about dinosaurs, a Neil is worth two Goldblums. I don't know what that means, but
I would actually agree with you. I really like Sam O'Neill.
Like Sam O'Neill. Well, he's
more
also
so than Jeff Goldblum.
Is there an O in his name, Sam O'Neill?
Yeah. O'Neill.
Really?
Yeah.
O'Neill.
Yeah.
I swear to God, it was Sam Neill.
Hold on, you might be right.
No, it's Sam Neill. You're right.
It is Sam Neill.
It's Sam Neill.
I wanted to.
I
tried to make him Irish.
Yeah.
everyone went along with you is the thing that killed
it. It just sounded good.
Sam O'Neill.
Yeah. O'Neill.
It's Sam O'Neill.
I'm Sam O'Neill.
Way too much whiskey.
I'm going to be in the... Another toast, whiskey sour.
Whiskey
Irish whiskey makes everyone Irish.
So, whiskey sours makes
whiskey. Just to tie up this topic real quick, are you guys looking forward to another Jurassic Park movie? Mm-hmm. I guess that's the bottom line.
There's a couple of things about that's come out about Jurassic World, as it's being called, that I have been suspect of.
Okay.
One is the news that there are friendly dinosaurs in the new movie. Okay. And that one of the characters is a dinosaur trainer, and that seems a little weird to me.
I have not heard this, and I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
That's like Bob in Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
The original Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't like the idea of friendly dinosaurs. I don't like the idea of dinosaurs being able to be bent to our will.
But hear me out.
I'm hearing you.
Do you know why they are good? Plush toys.
Fuck plush toys.
Actually, I was going to go back to the first Jurassic Park. It's the concept of the T-Rex saving them in the end from the Raptors that they're playing on.
Friendly. No, wait.
He's not friendly, but he saves them.
Inadvertently
of nature.
Saves them. Yeah, but no, it wasn't like save you. Hey, good luck, guys. I mean,
it seems to me like a natural, like, I don't know, how often can you just go humans versus dinosaurs? How many movies can you make about that?
Yeah, but do you want them to be trained? That feels fucked up to me.
Humans train everything. Have you been to the zoo?
No, I do not like this idea. That's all I'm saying.
Whether you like it or not, I'm just saying.
You try to train the tiger and it attacks.
Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried and Roy.
Or Roy.
Exactly.
Which is why all animals cannot be trained.
For me, the idea of a Jurassic Park 4 or Jurassic Park World where they're training dinosaurs seems a little lame. Does anyone remember the leaked script on the version 4 that was going to come out about 10 years ago that... John Sayles was somehow involved with it.
Do
you remember this? Intelligent dinosaurs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was horrible.
Yeah, the whole idea of it seemed horrible. But so this is better, at least, than that. But still.
I forgot about
it. We're trying to incorporate a little bit.
I put it out of my mind a little bit, too, because it was not a very good idea at all.
And it was John Sayles.
Yeah, I know, right? You'd think that there would be something better coming out of that camp. But,
All right. Well, I like dinosaurs. So
so you're saying that we don't?
I love that Hayden's argument is
fuck you guys, I like dinosaurs.
I like dinosaurs.
And then all of a sudden he had Tyrannosaurus Rex fingers. Did you see that?
I like dinosaurs.
Wait, I'm clapping with my little hands.
All right, guys, fuck it. Hayden likes dinosaurs.
That is my follow-up for anything.
Yeah, well, one of my nicknames is T-Rex, so I almost like dinosaurs more.
How many nicknames do you have?
I have a lot of nicknames.
Holy shit.
I have a lot of nicknames.
Let's just stop talking about this, because Hayden likes dinosaurs. So.
Yeah, that's the end all right there.
Your argument is invalid.
All right.
We have other things to talk about on this podcast.
Does it include dinosaurs?
I like dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs on a spaceship. Yeah? Anybody?
I'm in.
Doctor Who!
I'm in. Is it in a TARDIS?
I like dinosaurs.
I like dinosaurs.
Okay, so anytime anyone out in the world is like, yo, Blaine, why do you feel that? Maybe because I like dinosaurs. All right? That's why. That's why, fucker. I like dinosaurs.
I've never in my life seen Hayden laugh. That's so hard.
I like dinosaurs.
Stop imitating me.
Oh,
it's too perfect.
Oh my god.
Good lord.
This is the best ab workout ever.
It's all because of dinosaurs, by the way.
I have to go to the gym for a month.
Let's talk about Marvel
TV. What's the mama? Sorry.
Let's talk about Marvel TV.
Oh, best show. I
keep hitting. Dean did that show.
Did he? Did he did?
Sorry,
Dean.
Tangent. Right.
Not the mama.
Not the mama.
What are we talking about?
Dinosaurs.
Oh, dinosaurs. Yeah. Not
ABC
the mama,
show.
Not the mama. I loved that show.
That was a great show.
Fuck yeah, I loved that show.
I was never into it.
I loved it.
I'm sorry. I can't.
Dean won an Emmy for that show.
Did you just punch her? You just punched a lady. You just kidney punched Nerd Girl. John just kidney punched Nerd Girl.
It
was
quite... so I can flex at least.
Well, quite like that.
You can, I...
okay.
The drink of next show.
Okay, that's good.
I was like four of them there.
Bloody piss from.
All right, so we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Marvel TV.
Yes, let's do it.
There's a lot going on in the world of Marvel television. We've talked a lot about the movies in previous podcasts, but we're going to talk.
But
about
not TV. Enough about Marvel.
Our whole world right now is Marvel. It just is. And hey, I was on the forefront of fighting this, but God damn it, there's so much happening with Marvel.
They're rocking it.
So the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got picked up for season two.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been following, I personally had just recently got caught up on season one. Loved it. I was all in. I thought it was after about half the season, it really kind of took off, and I was really into it.
It found its stride about halfway through.
Personally, I'm not as big a fan as you guys are. I like the stories because it interacts with that Marvel universe.
Yeah,
I think the acting is drudge.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Who are you specifically targeting when you say Drudge?
I say Ward, the science twins. I'm just not a big fan. I haven't been sold on. I think it's very forced to me. Yeah. I've tried to like feel for these characters, and I just haven't gotten into it as much.
After the last half of the season.
No. Second half of the season has improved, but I'm still not fully. I'm watching it because I want to keep up with the Marvel universe. And that's why I don't think it's bad. I think Coulson is terrific. I think the stories are terrific. I think the acting is just off for whatever reason. It's just not. I'm not endeared to the characters.
I think that the Fitzsimmons have a great chemistry with each other. I think the whole thing with what's his name? The guy who came in who kind of replaced Ward. Trippett. Mm-hmm. I think him coming in and forcing Simmons to
Triplett.
Yeah. I don't know. Trip whatever. Something. He's hot. I don't care what his name is. The girl is Simmons or Fitz.
Simmons.
Mm-hmm. I think that him coming in and kind of all of a sudden Fitz being like, oh, crap, there's competition, and forcing himself to realize like his feelings for her, I think that was really touching, especially when they were in imminent danger. I disagree with you. I think that Ward is great. I think that having to switch back and forth between being a good guy and a bad guy, I think he did okay.
Spoiler alert.
I don't know. Maybe he's not the best.
Well, but he was a good guy for... 9/10 of the show up until the very end, the last few episodes.
It really bummed me out that he was
Hydra.
But he's not really. But he's just devoted to Bill Paxton.
He's a stick. Most of those guys are sticks to me. I don't know. I'm just not into it.
I don't know
as
what that means.
As,
what's it mean, stick?
Acting wise, like, I just
you
I'm
could
not getting
him
anything.
With anybody.
Anyone. They could have been. And again, it's first season. I'm willing to give it that.
Yeah.
You know, any show first season is going to be a little rocky.
Did you follow it through to the finale?
I did. Yeah.
And do you feel that the second season has more potential?
It does. I invested in the show. And again, a lot of it is Coulson.
Are the movies going to pay attention to what the series is doing, or is it just vice versa?
I think it's going to be incorporated.
They were making some pretty broad strokes. You know, if it was really just a throwaway series, I don't think they'd be doing things like naming Coulson director, for example. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, and the fact that Nick Fury and Maria Hill are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like those incorporations. So what is the hieroglyphics that these guys are carving into the glass? What is that a reference to?
I don't know, but it's certainly... is disturbing seeing that the only other person we've seen do that was the Bill Paxton Garrett character, and mm-hmm. he kind of went crazy.
Well, it's the two people who have Kree blood.
Well, if we think that's a Kree creature, you know, that they've been injected with.
But they're not the only two.
Skye
is injected with some.
Well, not only
presumably.
Is she injected with it, but she's potentially naturally a daughter of said thing. You know, they've been talking about her parents being creatures. So.
Which we get a glimpse of towards the end.
Yeah.
A little bit.
The back of.
I feel like, you know, a series that started off very rough has kind of mm-hmm. come into its own. And mm-hmm. I am very, I don't think it's perfect. I think that there's a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, I think it would be hard pressed for anyone to say that the finale was perfect, but it was very entertaining. And I think it's something that I'm very much looking forward to seeing what season two produces.
Now, is this Joss Whedon? Am I correct in saying this is Joss Whedon's brother who's producing?
Yeah. And sister-in-law.
So I find, too, the humor is a little bit forced, because I know Joss Whedon's humor in some of the movies comes across a little more natural, and I feel like a lot of the jokes
are
forced. These
are the same people who did Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog, and these are the same people who have done a lot of the Firefly EU comic books.
I love Dr. Horrible.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's Jed Whedon and Mo, and I'm going to butcher her last name, Tarishian. She calls herself the Asian Whedon. She's married to Jed.
Okay.
She was one of the main fangirls in Dr. Horrible. She was originally supposed to be Penny, but then they decided to cast Felicia Day.
Interesting.
As Penny.
I'm waiting for the sequel.
Now, have you heard about them greenlighting Peggy Carter?
Yes, I've heard that. Yeah, yeah.
They've greenlit 8 episodes so far, and it's going to be in the same vein as the Marvel one-shot featuring Peggy Carter,
right?
Kind of post Captain America disappearing,
right?
It's like the foundation of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
right?
the creation of S.H.I.L.D.
I know. Well, that it just makes me feel like I have to, you know, get up to date on S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. Like it's funny because, you know.
Even though this takes place in the 40s?
Yeah. I mean, I want to be up to date on all of Marvel, you know, because I fucking love what Marvel's doing. But it's just, when S.H.I.E.L.D. first started, the reviews were so bad. And I have a bad taste in my mouth for network TV. I didn't think it was going to be any good.
Yeah.
And now I regret the fact that I haven't watched it yet.
It's a good binge watch, I would say. Because you can catch up real quick to the parts that are better.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. The first half of that season
was tough. That's what I heard.
I mean, you kind of need it because there are things that come into play later on, but it was not really enjoyable.
I almost lost interest.
Yeah.
In fact, I was like 6 episodes behind and I had to really quick watch it.
Same here.
It's hard for me because, like, you know, Marvel has become, or, you know, has become very much a theater experience for me. You know, like when I'm home, it's Game of Thrones or it's Sherlock or it's, you know, American Horror Story, which is about to start up again. And, you know, it's like I'm so weird about like what I watch at home. Marvel hasn't entered into my head that you can actually watch Marvel at home. You know what I mean?
Do you think that's going to change?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely going to change. Well, it's totally going to change because.
Are you interested in Peggy Carter?
I am. I totally am. I'm interested in S.H.I.E.L.D. too. I'm trying to fit it into my schedule.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's so many things to watch right now.
What about this whole Netflix universe that no one's really talking too much about, which kind of baffles me? It's, you know, it was announced back in what, August? I mean, of 2013. I mean, it's been in the plans for a long time, and yet no one's really talking too much about it, and I think it's really interesting. I mean, they're...
The whole Marvel thing.
Yeah, Marvel has made a deal with Netflix to produce 5 series on Netflix.
Yeah.
And they're basically replicating their movie success on television. They're you know, in the movies, they produced Iron Man, they produced Thor, they produced Captain America, and then they did the Avengers. Well, here they're laying out a plan to do 4... different 13 episode series, roughly. Daredevil, mm-hmm. Alias.
Wait. Like rebooting Alias?
No. Not completely
not
different.
Jennifer Garner.
Not the Jennifer Garner series. It's
completely different.
It's the comic book series. Alias. They're not going to call the series Alias because there's already been an Alias series. But I think your name is Jessica Jones. And then Power Man and Iron Fist.
Right.
And then they're going to bring all those characters together in a Defenders series.
Oh, that's
so
right.
You've got basically 5 different 13 episode or so series on Netflix.
5 years from now, it's going to be nothing but these gigantic superhero movies where there's like 6 superhero movies. You know, you got the Avengers, you got the Justice League, you've got, you know, these guys and freaking and Moe's heroes. You know, it's like it's crazy.
But does that mean you want to see it?
I don't know. I don't know. It's getting kind of crazy right now.
My question is audience reach. So when you have something on network TV like ABC, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where everyone has access to, where you can download episodes, right, ABC.com or whatever,
right.
And even the movies where everyone goes to the movies all the time, how many people are percentage-wise Netflix subscribers to – the non. Like, how many people are actually going to get this content? You know,
yeah, but that's like Game of Thrones,
and I agree to a certain extent, but it's tying it into the whole universe. I mean, how much are you missing out? How much of the audience that's really into the Marvelverse are they missing out on this Netflix world?
I know, but you're taking second tier characters, and you're talking about series on par with House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, and you know these are Arrested Development, even the fourth season on Netflix. You're talking about series that have a fairly wide reach, and you're talking about second or even potentially third tier characters in the Marvel universe that are stepping up to
I think it's a kind of overkill.
You think so?
I do. I really do. I mean, I love the fact that they're going the route of secondary channels, we'll call them, you know, like Netflix and Hulu is now doing original programming as well. You know, I mean, it's really cool, but I mean, I think you can do overkill too. You got to stagger it better.
Yeah,
I consider myself average layman when it comes to media consumption for the most part, and I loved Arrested Development, but I didn't see any of it on Netflix. I'm not a Netflix subscriber, so unless I go on and illegally download something, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
So I how much are you?
So you were an Arrested Development fan.
Yes.
And then you didn't get to see the last season because you don't have
Netflix. I don't have Netflix, and not everyone is a Netflix subscriber. So how many people are you alienating who are actually fans of this genre or this universe?
Well, I mean, look, if you don't have Netflix, it still comes out on DVD. It still comes out in other channels.
Yeah.
So it's that may be the first, you know, point of contact for those series, but it's not the only point of contact. It's not like that's the only way you can see it is having Netflix.
Yeah, but usually when you're broadcasting something on network TV, you've got an instantaneous
plus
access to it.
Again, you're part of the problem because we're trying to get rid of cable TV, my friend.
I'm sorry.
A la carte TV, man.
So TimeWarner.com.
I actually really like it because they can do things that ABC can't do. They can have a certain degree of nudity. They can curse. They can do. I mean, and if you make it, they will come.
Right.
You know, House of Cards, Orange is the New Black. Yep. Those got such critical acclaim that more and more people are going to go to Netflix. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm arguing the access a lot of people have. I think we also, as a group, take for granted how much access people have to, the affordability to things of a monthly subscription. I don't know.
I don't have cable TV anymore. I haven't had it for 2 years.
Okay.
I've never looked back. If there's a show I want to see, I can find it.
But what I'm saying
and
is,
if I find it, I mean, I can pay for
even,
it.
Even network shows like ABC, NBC, people
can
access those without getting online, internet.
You just go to abc.com.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but you pay an extra fee for a service like a Netflix. So you could go, if you're paying for an internet service, you can go to an abc.com and get your shows. But if you want to get shows on a Netflix, then you're paying another a month.
$8 a month.
Everyone can afford Netflix. That's why not everyone is a member. That's all I'm saying.
Cable rapes you. Cable absolutely rapes you.
I'm not arguing against that.
You're paying for 400 channels that you don't watch. So why not a la carte it? And that's what I do.
I'm not trying to promote or dispromote anything. I'm just saying the actual statistics of things, like how many people are actually on Netflix versus they're getting things over the air or cable.
And how many people are happy with streaming only and not paying?
Well,
I know more
that's
and
a
more
different
people
conversation.
That are swapping.
That's a different conversation. I'm just saying right now, though. I mean, I don't know. It's just a question. It's not a.
I think more people are likely to get Netflix than are likely to get HBO.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And Game of Thrones is the most illegally downloaded show of all time.
That I agree with.
Yeah. Anyhow, we've got one more thing in the news that we need to talk about, and then we've got to get on a couple other things. And that is, there's a lot of rumors on the X-Men front that Bryan Singer may be removed from the Days of Future Past sequel.
Why?
Because of the allegations against him.
Didn't they get dropped?
No, the allegations against one of the other guys got dropped. I thought the same thing. I thought the whole thing got dropped, but there's three people being sued, and allegations against one of them have gotten dropped. The attorneys said that they expect it to, like, the next one, you know, and the next dude's going to get dropped, and then Bryan Singer's going to get dropped. And meanwhile, Bryan Singer's getting, again, I keep saying this, I hope he didn't do it, but I'm kind of on Team Singer on this, because I think it's a shakedown.
They say they can prove that he was out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they can, it'll be an easy dismissal, I would think. Yeah. I mean, if the stories aren't lining up, I would think that would be very good for him. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Obviously, I wasn't there. I don't know that I'm you know, team singer per se, but you know, I'm team X-Men, so I'd like to see the sequel, and that's, you know, coming from a purely
Apocalypse, it just smells of a shakedown.
It does, but you just never know.
No,
and what
true.
I'm hearing too is not so much that 20th Century Fox is worried about him being guilty as much as they're worried about
about him
making his production schedule
affecting it. Yeah,
it's interesting to think that you know, especially after the success that Days of Future Past is proving to be, that he may be removed from the sequel.
I hope he didn't do it, because his movies are so much better than the non-singer ones.
I wonder if he could figure out a way to go back in time and talk to his earlier self.
While we're on Marvel, and when aren't we on Marvel?
On Marvel.
Ant-Man.
Oh,
we've got some updates on the Ant-Man front. You know, as everyone might or might not know, Marvel was developing Ant-Man since roughly 2006 with director Edgar Wright, who's also done Scott Pilgrim and Shaun of the Dead and World's End and Hot Fuzz, and is a very talented auteur director. Edgar Wright, a month ago, left the project, and Marvel scrambled to find a new director, and
everyone turned it down.
Seemed like everyone was turning it down.
Except for Roger Corman.
Right. Oh, my. Those were the best tweets ever. You know, Roger Corman offering up his ability offering up the ability and then saying, no, I don't have any time to do this.
Which was very nice of him. Very
a sweet guy.
Very giving of Roger Corman. Anyhow, so in recent days, probably in the last week, a director was found. They've hired Peyton Reed. Peyton Reed has not made a ton of movies. He made A Down with Love, which was the Ewan McGregor, Renee Zellweger. It was a period piece, musical. It was fun. Very kitschy, and it was stylistic. He's also done Yes Man with Jim Carrey.
That was entertaining.
Yeah, I actually liked that one.
It was good.
I mean, it's not going to win any awards.
But
I like the message.
But
he did bring it on.
It's already been brought in.
No, that's not another teen movie.
No, they did. It's like, you better bring it. Oh, it's already been brought in.
I thought that was actually another teen movie where they made fun of it.
Don't question my teen quotables.
Unfortunately, I have seen Bring It On like 5 times.
Okay, because that's too many times.
I know.
It's not as good as Mean Girls, but it's kind of in that vein where it's funny.
It makes fun of itself. It's not that it was a bad movie for the type of movie that it was and the type of audience it was going to bring in or brought in. but do you see the director of Bring It On doing Ant-Man?
No.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We've all praised Marvel for laying out a very, continuity laden universe in film, which is something that has never really been done before outside of something like a Harry Potter series or Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. You know, this is a new experiment, and we've all praised their ability to kind of keep this singular cinematic vision. And, you know, I know Simon Pegg came out the other day during an interview and said that he'd read the script and it was really brilliant and it was really, you know, it was very Edgar and it was, you know, it was Marvel's loss for turning it down. And I get that. And I would love to see that Edgar Wright Ant-Man movie. I really would. I mean, but at the same time, are they hiring the right person, which is basically, excuse the pun, a yes man who's not going to say, no, this is my vision, take it or leave it, like it or lump it. But yes, I'm going to be a team player.
With the Burn Man preview that just came out, that type of a movie, I think what the point you're making is, and that's supposed to be a superheroes type movie. I don't think that type of movie fits in the Marvel universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's because I think he wasn't a good fit to begin with, because you do have to be a yes man to be involved in the Marvel universe right now, because they have such a clear and concise plan for these movies, which is great. My brain is still wrapped around an Edgar Wright movie.
Mm-hmm.
No one is going to be able to fill those shoes to me until it's going to be one of those things until it comes out.
Well, you're not alone. The internet is blowing up with people going, you know, fuck this movie. It's an Edgar Wright movie, and I will never see an Ant-Man movie that's not produced by Edgar Wright. And it's like, all right, I get it. But
which I get, because he championed it.
I don't want to seem like I'm completely, you know, team Marvel on this, because he may have been left let go in a really shitty way, and we don't know.
No, we don't.
But there were also two side trips for Edgar Wright that really put him in a position for this universe to have outgrown him. He was, you know, developing Ant-Man and then went and did Scott Pilgrim and then was going to come back and do Ant-Man and instead went and did World's End. And that's totally his, you know, call as a director and as a you know, writer, director, auteur to go do what we're, you know, to go where his heart takes him and make the material he wants to make. But if he had made Ant-Man 5 years ago, I don't think this would be an issue.
Well, do we know? Yeah, but do we know for a fact that he did that because he was like, well, fuck you guys, I'm going to go do this? Or was it like there was a time thing and he's like, okay, well, if this is going to happen, then I'm going to go off and do these movies?
From, you know, the interviews that I read with him back then, it was like, oh, I just wasn't really, I'm glad I went and made Scott Pilgrim because I don't, you know, I wasn't really ready for the big special effects. And this really was a great training ground, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, oh, now I'm ready to tackle Ant-Man. And then the next thing you hear is like, he's going to do World. I don't think
but,
it was.
Yeah, but there was no way an Ant-Man was going to come out before the Avengers.
Well, and that's just what I want to throw out. You bring up something, a good point, Blaine, is I think everything that changed this whole equation with Edgar Wright is the Avengers. Mm-hmm. All of these characters coming together into one cornucopia, and they all have that same style. You can't have this Ant-Man kind of type movie that's Edgar Wright kind of oddball and then include him in Avengers 3.
I get the feeling that Ant-Man was never really in the equation. Maybe it was Edgar Wright going, you've got to make an Ant-Man movie, because it's like, look at the whole thing with Pym. You know, I mean, the story of the next Avengers would probably be drastically different if Ant-Man came out in before Avengers did.
You're talking about which characters are you going to mine first? I don't think anyone's going to go, you know which movie we should do? Ant-Man.
Isn't it kind of funny, though, then that Marvel turned around and said, we got to find a new director? When they had just been like, well, we didn't plan on doing this before. Let's just get rid of it.
Yeah, but you're talking about development dollars. You're talking about all the money that's been spent to develop the footage that was shown at Comic-Con and, you know, the scripts. And, you know, maybe they may even have deals in place, pay or play deals in place with these actors. And there, you get to a certain point where, as a company, you are pot committed. And it's kind of like the idea of Superman. You know, when Superman Returns came out, there was no way for that movie to really be a success because it had developmental costs from a decade and a half of failed Superman endeavors. So you talk about, you know, that development cost just keeps, you know, carrying forward until the movie finally comes out. It would have had to make, you know, $1 billion to be a real success. And it just wasn't going to happen. So you're talking about they've put so much money into it at this point that we might as well just make it.
I feel like Peyton Reed is like their seventh or eighth choice for a director, but I think that he's probably going to do fine by it. I think he's got the chops to make it a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. How cool would it be, though, if when Henry Pym does end up in an Avenger movie, he's walking down the street just like eating a Cornetto? You know, how cool would that be? It would be. I can see Joss Whedon doing that. Did you see his tweet where he's just like holding one up?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's interesting because that's all he said. So it's like, you know,
right.
Is that him taking sides or is that just him being, you know, in solidarity with another director? Or, you know, you got to figure that Joss had somewhat of a say in there. I mean, he's kind of been tasked with overseeing this phase.
He's a big dog.
Yeah. Is Peyton Reed the first name that springs to mind? No, but I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Peyton Reed was involved in the Fantastic Four before it was turned over to Tim Story and we got what we got. And my recollection of interviews with him when he was in development on that was that his ideas were really interesting and he seemed like a fanboy and he seemed to like really love the comic book and the source material. And
so you're talking about the Jessica Alba.
Well, yeah, yes. I don't think anyone had been cast at that point. I mean, they were just, you know, they
but
were
you're
just
not talking about the reboot. I just want to make sure.
The old, the
first pass at this.
The 2005 old school.
Well, not really the first pass, because the first pass would have been Roger Corman.
Yeah.
To keep the rights active.
And it all comes back around.
Yeah. See, and that's what they'll probably do with Spider-Man, is just make a Roger Corman version.
Jesus.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
I'll take it over Webb.
I'll take it. I'll take a Roger Corman.
You know, but it all comes back to this idea, for me, that, you know, the that Marvel, and I'm a broken record on this a little bit, Marvel isn't an auteur-driven universe. It's a producer-driven universe. And you're looking at people like Kevin Feige. And that's what makes me nervous, honestly, about the DC universe, is that you don't seem to have a Kevin Feige. You know, at least that I have, no one that has been visible. You know, you don't have that person that is in charge of making the creative decisions and building the universe. And so, you know, when DC starts this, you know, just this week, when
the release dates for
the release dates for three movies a year, which Marvel's not even doing. Right. I mean, are they playing catch up, you think?
And I think one starring Shaq, right?
But they're doing it backwards, though. Marvel would never do throw somebody into a movie without having a. I mean, even Hawkeye was in Thor, you know. But in this Dawn of Justice, they're throwing everybody in it.
I know. They just literally announced, and it's not announced, but the big rumor, and it seems to be a very, you know,
pretty substantial.
Yeah, pretty substantial. It's coming from HitFix, Drew McWeeny over at HitFix. And that's that Jason Momoa is going to be Aquaman.
And who called it?
I was joking that one time.
I was like, oh, who was it that they just announced a Wonder Woman casting? And I was like, watch, Aquaman's next.
I love that DC is writing our own jokes for us.
I know.
According to the rumor, we've got, of course, Batman versus Superman coming in 2016 in May. And then they announced Shazam. For July. That doesn't seem possible.
Shaq Attack.
Yeah.
Shazam seems like the really weird property to lead with. You know, I mean,
Shazam.
I don't know about that at all. And then the Sandman, which is, we know, has been in development. I mean, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt's attached to that in some way, if I'm not mistaken. And then you've got a Justice League movie, which they'd already announced,
coming out in 2016. Well, yeah.
And then again in 2017.
Yeah.
And then ostensibly a Wonder Woman movie in July.
How do you come out with a Justice League movie before a Wonder Woman movie?
If
that's right. That's...
And then, which I think is very interesting, a Flash and Green Lantern movie
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds won't be playing Green Lantern. And then in 2018, then we get our actual Man of Steel 2. Which
I have a question.
Yeah.
When we were at Comic-Con Zack Snyder came out on stage and announced Batman vs. Superman, I thought that was Man of Steel 2. Wasn't that?
I think it was supposed to be, and now it's kind of evolved into more of a Justice League introduction.
Yeah, it's really odd.
It's like a pre-league. But
prematurely.
It's another Muppet Babies.
Yes. But again,
I love Muppet Babies.
I go back again and again and again to going, you know, so who's running the ship? Is it Zack Snyder? Is Zack Snyder making these decisions? Who is the person? Who is that person like Kevin Feige at Marvel who is making these creative decisions? Because they all feel very weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does it feel weird in the movie sense, but we're also going to have a Flash television series at the same time that we have a Flash movie, and that they're not connected at all.
And that guy's not going to play the Flash in the movie?
I don't know.
Maybe he will.
Yeah, I mean,
unless the show tanks.
I doubt it. They did not want Tom, what's his face, from Smallville to be Superman.
Right. Nor did they. I mean, I've heard no discussion of Arrow crossing over to the movies. Mm-hmm. Again, if they were building the same thing that Marvel's building, you would hear mentions of, you know, the destruction of Metropolis on Arrow or something like that. You know,
sort of like how it happens on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
where they reference Captain America too.
Well, isn't the whole reason why they're bringing in Aquaman is because Aquaman's supposedly pissed off about the destruction in the Indian Ocean?
Still totally rumor.
But that's the rumor.
I feel like he's just going to come in like Captain Planet and wag his finger and then go back into the water.
Right.
Blaine, you and I were talking about this earlier a little bit, is that if Dawn of Justice deals a lot with the aftermath of Man of Steel and the idea that the world is really pissed off about this whole Metropolis battle, I don't hate that.
That's, to be honest with you, that's the only thing I've pulled from this that it has made me go, whoa, they're kind of on the right track here. I think that's a really great angle. You know, again, I could give two shits for this movie.
Well, obviously, we're none of us real. I mean, I shouldn't say none of us. I think Tracy's kind of excited about it, but
I think our expectations are so lowered. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Why not?
I hope so.
Yeah.
We'll see. We got one more thing we need to talk about, and we're running out of time. And that's I want to talk about this because it's timely and it bums me out. I want to talk about Edge of Tomorrow. We've got this. Everybody complains constantly about. Nobody does new original sci-fi. It's remakes and reboots and rehashes and here a great original sci-fi movie comes out and it's just struggling at the box office. I mean, it came in third its opening weekend and it's bumming me out. And it's really, it's a good movie. I mean, it's not like...
What's one and two?
Maleficent.
Maleficent.
Oh, God, really? Maleficent.
Malnutrition, I think was the name of the movie.
I haven't seen Maleficent, so I can't weigh in on the content.
I've heard enough that I don't want to see it. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I've heard good things. But
I saw 13-year-olds lined up out the door. I was like, I'm not seeing this movie.
Yeah, Maleficent was number two, and The Fault in Our Stars was number one.
Yeah, I heard some good things about that. Yeah, well, I don't even know what it's about.
It's a young adult. I believe it's a young adult novel. It's YA. Yeah.
I almost want to see it just to support John Green.
Well, I don't know who that is, but let's go support
well,
John
that's
Green.
That's got to be a hit.
Another whiskey sour.
Whiskey sour.
Cheers.
To John Green.
With our apple
John
green
and
sour
Hank.
Cups.
Yeah.
John and Hank Green, they do YouTube videos that are great.
Oh yeah, I know
nerdy.
Hank. Yeah.
I don't know him.
I know the videos.
He wrote a random YA novel.
Interesting.
we'll have to deal with that in a future podcast.
Yeah. Never read it.
So now everyone has seen Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Did anyone dislike it?
No.
Did anyone think it was great?
Yes.
All right. So what the fuck is going on? How can we get people to go to the movies and see original
content? They advertised it all wrong.
Okay. So you think that's the problem is the marketing? Tell me why.
Oh, God. First of all, they made it seem like Jack Reacher. First of all, in space. And it's not. It's funny. It's dramatic. It's got action. Emily Blunt
well,
is
that's
amazing.
The I'm glad you just said that because I think that's the one thing that no one would know going into it is how funny
it's
that
the
movie
humor.
Is.
The humor was not in the movie.
And it's
trailer.
Not a comedy either, but I'll get to my point. I'm sorry.
It's a perfect balance of all these things. And John is right. It's original sci-fi. Yeah. And I don't know. I only went to see it because I knew we were doing this podcast. Otherwise, because like Tom Cruise, I'm kind of Tom Cruised out. And a lot of his roles, I kind of look at him and I'm like, oh, that's Tom Cruise. I don't tend to get lost in his roles. But I did with the one with the where he had white hair. Collateral.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. And I went and saw this with somebody who is not a nerd at all. And he even loved it.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's just a good movie. It's solid. I keep using the word solid.
Solid is what I've used.
You know, it is a really solid movie. I do agree with the Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise has a problem with
his religion.
Well,
and jumping on couches.
Yeah, but I will say this: I I hate that I did this while watching the movie. But have you ever watched a Tom Cruise movie and watched how they shoot it? To make sure that you can't tell how short he is.
Yeah.
Holy shit, was it obvious in this movie. Well, but anyway, don't listen to that.
He's in an armor suit, basically.
Well, that's when he was okay. But like whenever he was next to the girl, she was either like 4 feet apart or he was front and center.
Obviously
and
on a soapbox or up on the hill.
Yeah, it was.
They kissed kneeling
on the floor. I found myself thinking about that too much. But I would have loved to have seen a Bill Murray cameo in that movie.
Awesome.
Because it's Groundhog's Day, but I love the fact that they didn't take it so seriously.
Yeah.
The editing of it, as you guys know, like how they would speed through a lot of the different times he was going. I don't even know how to explain
it
without giving some away.
Is it weird that I counted all of them?
Well, they called it in the movie. You counted all of them?
I counted them. I counted them.
Oh, my God. The ones they actually showed?
I did.
That is so OCD. It's ridiculous.
That's like the Star Wars
alphabet. Oh, my God. That's kind of awesome, though.
I even wrote them down.
No way. She's got a notebook here. How many times?
There was.
What is wrong with you?
There was, and obviously there were times when he spoke and he was like, oh, this was 18 times ago or whatever.
Yes.
But I counted 26.
In the film that showed in the
they
film.
Showed. They actually showed.
I wrote them all
and
down.
You're talking about even when they did like a series of like rapid cuts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are some of my favorite moments. Like, no, wait. You know?
Look, when he's rolling over the tank.
Oh my God. When he gets run over. That was amazing. So
11, 12, 13, and then 14, wow. And then 15, 16, 17, 18.
Oh my
19.
God.
Yeah.
She really has issues.
I counted how many times Emily Blunt was doing push-ups. Does that count for
that
anything?
That was a push-up. That was like a roll-up.
That first scene when she's on the thing and she does a little roll. Like every time they got back to it, I was like, yes.
Please show that again.
We're here again. Damn.
And she's married to John Krasinski, who I would totally marry to.
She's got a long list. You've got a long
list. You've got a longer list than we do, I
know,
think.
Right? She looks good. Emily Blunt looks good in that movie, she does a great job.
Yeah.
She really, you know, it's hard to be in that kind of hardened soldier role and really sell it. And she does. And I thought Bill Paxton did a really good job.
Yeah, he did.
He's always good.
It's just a good fun movie.
It's a really fun movie.
The only part of the casting, I thought the J. Crew was a little bit stereotypical kind of cartoonish. I don't know.
But they're all like that. Yeah. I mean, like, you can go back to Full Metal Jacket and it's the same thing. Yeah.
The suits. They reminded me of the lifter from Aliens.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of dug about it.
Yeah. And I also loved that they made them, like, they walked kind of clunky. They weren't like pros walking.
I'm glad they didn't look like Starship Troopers or, you know, Cloverfield.
But the other thing about those suits is they were clunky for the people who didn't know how to use them. Emily Blunt, and then when Tom Cruise started, training, those suits were awesome because they were supposed to be nimble. That was the whole point. They were nimble. They were supposed to make them nimble like the aliens, who were very Matrix.
And they were beat up and they were personalized.
Yeah. So you think it's a marketing problem? Is that kind of the consensus?
Marketing. And I think Tom Cruise has a hurdle in front of him. He's got to figure out a way of reinventing himself again.
Yeah. Well, I just...
Especially for action movies. Action movies outside of
his... That's not
an
established property.
Yeah. I also think that we, as geeks and nerds, need to make a concerted effort to support these kinds of films.
These non-sequel, non-reboot, original science fiction movies.
Yeah, especially when you're hearing people come out and say, this is good, then, roll on down to the Cineplex and take a chance and go see it.
Agreed.
I do think that the title is a little lame.
I was going to say that, too. It's very forced.
Yeah, it almost sounds like, Mel Gibson in the revenge fantasy, Edge of Tomorrow. You don't really know what it's very non-specific.
I was going to say that, yeah.
And they it's an...
Very Hollywood.
The book, it's actually an adaptation of a Japanese book called All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah.
And the original title of the movie was All You Need Is Kill. And which is actually a really cool...
That's a better title.
It's a better title.
They could have called it Kill.
And
it would have been awesome.
Apparently the studio got nervous. So before Comic-Con, I guess last year, they changed the name and they changed all the promotional posters and it's Edge of Tomorrow, which is just forgettable. So I think that's working against it a little
marketing
bit too.
Marketing again.
Yeah.
By the way, me and Tracy were at the Comic-Con. You were there, right?
Yeah.
And we saw Chris Hardwick. Him and Tom Cruise were going at it, singing on stage. It was hilarious.
It was great.
Oh, well, yeah, that's because Chris Hardwick played the same role that Tom Cruise did in Rock of Ages.
Exactly, yeah. So they were busting out a musical on stage.
What's the character's name? I can't.
Stacey.
Yes, Stacey.
Jax.
Yeah.
Again, I'm back on the Tom Cruise train.
I don't know if I'm on a train, but I will take him movie by movie. I don't know if I'm on the, if I'm...
Well, I just mean...
The movie is so great.
Yeah.
You know what was great about this movie, in his part in it, is that he's not the infallible action hero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He
dies.
Well, not only that, but he's... obviously he dies over and over and over again, but he's... He's kind of a coward,
He
starts
a
the movie.
That was
oh
the greatest
God.
Thing, and that was the same with like War of the Worlds. He was such a dick. He actually played like a deadbeat dad, And this one, you don't even realize it until he's in that meeting, and he's just smarmy, And you're like, oh, you're a little pussy, is what you are.
Yeah.
I like it when he plays those roles. I mean,
Well, when you do that, you give your character space to have an arc.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start off the movie as a badass, it's hard to go anywhere. He does a very nice job of making that transition of going from, the person you see at the beginning of the movie to the person that you see in the middle of the movie and as he continues to progress. So I really liked it. If you haven't seen it, please go see it.
Go see it.
Give it some box office dollars so that they keep making original sci-fi.
Can I also say that I accidentally had to see this movie in IMAX 3D, which I don't normally go to movies, the first time that way. But for convenience sake, it was the only showing, so I did it. And the 3D was really fun.
I heard the 3D was really good.
Really
on this.
Good.
And it's post-production?
And I think it's post. Wow. It wasn't filmed with 3D cameras.
Yeah, it was converted. Mm. So it was. I really liked it a lot.
That's interesting. Actually. Well, we got to wrap up. Anybody have anything that they need to... Well, actually, I have something that I need to pimp this week. I'm going to be at the amazing Las Vegas Comic-Con starting on June 19th through the 22nd, I think. Roughly those dates. Go to the website, Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con, and
it's
check it out.
It's a great little con.
It
we
is.
Went last year. Hayden and I did.
That's where we met. That's where I met you,
John. That's where we met last year at this time. It was a very good con for me last year, so I'm hoping to see some friends. So come and find me at the Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con.
I'd also like to plug that I will be making an appearance at my pool this weekend, me and my dog, because my roommates are gone.
where can you buy tickets for that?
Hit me up on my Twitter account. That's iBlaine at twitter.com.
From all of us here at Pod Thingy, come say hi to us at geeks at podthingy.com. Check us out. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Until then, folks, have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ciao, Deliocious.
This has been an episode of Pod Thingy. Join us next time for more geekery and nerdisms.